my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure on Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallward. This is my co-host, Garrett Kittrick.
Hello.
Garrett, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So first of all, I've been remiss. I realized it's been almost a year since I bullied David Mead on the show. He's the guy who just won't stop predicting the apocalypse. But with Corona and all, I was curious if he'd made any predictions recently. And it turns out, no, he hasn't been in the news since June of last year when he proposed that sometime that year a war with Iran triggered the apocalypse, which must have been right on the edge of his seat back in January when that was kind of a close call with Iran. But right now it seems he's laying up. This has not stopped other doomsayers who are related to him from filling in the gaps. A militant Christian group stated last December that the astrological signs pointed to a seven-year tribulation period already being underway since 2017, putting the end of the world at 2025, which I could believe it. I mean, the way things are going, that doesn't seem totally crazy. According to the New York Times, reports of paranormal activity have surged since the beginning of the pandemic. Reporters talked to paranormal investigator John E.L. Kenney, who has been receiving roughly double the volume of ghost reports from the public since 2020. He chalks this increase up to people being at home more, and so noticing the strange sounds houses make, them being at home more, and thereby noticing the ghosts that have always been there, or just plain being in a hypervigilant, anxious state. Studies from before the pandemic show that 45% of Americans believe in ghosts and 19% believe they've personally encountered them. Kim Jong-un has resurfaced after several weeks of mysterious absence and is calling for, quote, stronger nuclear war deterrence. It's unclear exactly what he meant, but he added that, quote, critical measures were being taken to increase North Korea's firepower. This was punctuated with the promotion of two individuals who have experience with artillery and missile technology to high positions in the military. Oh, joy. Last of all, it's William Pullen's birthday. He's a UFO guy. He's been on a bunch of times. Happy birthday, William. And back to you, Chance.
All right. You know, David Mead, okay, so this opens a lot of questions. Like, he missed this one.
Right, exactly.
So does that mean that this one is the one because the other ones weren't the one, and he said
you're right.
You're
saying if he's just like, if he's predicting the apocalypse, then nothing's going to happen, but if he's not, then, like, so he's just exactly reversed.
Yeah, it's like Punxsutawney Phil. Are you familiar with Punxsutawney Phil?
Yes.
Okay. He's got a bad track record. You know, basically, right. Statistically, if he says it's going to be a long winter, statistically, from our history, that means that it's going to be a short winter.
His track record is actually worse than chance, is what
right,
saying.
Right, yes. And so, David Mead, you know.
It's possible like the same thing could
like
be going on.
It's like the
Punxsutawney
Phil of apocalypse, you know. That's
well,
a
that,
sentence.
That is very concerning. Yeah, it's interesting. Most, you know, of the sort of apocalypse set are, like, basically evangelical Christians. Like, that's mm-hmm. where most of these predictions are coming from. And in the U.S., at least, evangelical Christians love Trump, who mm-hmm. have been downplaying the pandemic since the beginning. So there have actually been very few apocalypse predictions from that particular crowd. They've mostly been silent because, you know, they
because it's obviously going to be a Democrat's fault when the apocalypse.
Right, exactly.
yeah, I don't know if they love him. Do they love him, or do they just sort of tolerate him because he's
evangelical Christians?
Yeah.
No, they're actually overwhelmingly quite positive on Trump. Right. It's interesting because I thought it was sort of different. You know, I thought it was sort of the Ted Cruz Republicans and then the Trump Republicans, and they're just sort of grudgingly supporting him.
Right.
And I think it was that way at one point. But now that Trump is the president, they're exceedingly enthusiastic about him.
I see.
And I think a lot of his base was evangelical to begin with.
Yeah. Well, I find a lot of this stuff really kind of weird with Christians. I don't have a huge understanding of Christianity, and I am by no means coming down on every Christian. I've known a lot in my life that were perfectly loving, accepting, non-apocalyptic people. But a lot of them seem to sort of like latch on to the Old Testament, even though when Jesus came, he said, that's all out, the New Testament is in, which would include Revelation. You know, and then in the next part of what you said, militant Christian and astrological all were in one sentence, you know, and like,
right.
It's,
well, David Mead is a Nibiru guy. Like, he has been saying from the beginning that the end of the world would be caused by Nibiru. It seems like he's kind of branching out a little bit, but,
so does he believe in the Anunnaki and Christ?
That's unclear. He hasn't really addressed that. I imagine that he just doesn't think that the Anunnaki are gods or whatever.
Right.
Maybe they're space aliens, but it seems like from what he said, he just sort of believes that there's a planet.
Okay, well, I think we've learned
may not be inhabited.
One thing here. We have learned one thing here, and that is that we probably should do an entire show on David Mead so that we can better understand
clearly
what exactly is going on with this guy.
I mean, we need to have him on. We just need to urge him not to listen to any previous shows.
I don't think that'd be a problem.
So, yeah. so doesn't know how much we made fun of him.
Yeah, no, I don't know. You know, I don't mind giving a platform to people who are out there, but I don't want to give
platform
to no fear-mongering. You know, I'm over that.
That is true. This guy is...
there's
kind
only
of
so
does.
Many times you can predict the end of the world, unless it's like Terminator and he actually saved it all these times and goes unnoticed for his, you know, actions that he did to save the apocalypse
exactly.
that he predicted, you know.
Yeah.
And then Kim Jong-un, are we sure it's him and not some sort of
We aren't sure of anything.
Little clone?
There are pictures. It seems like Kim Jong-un. It looks like Kim Jong-un, but, you know, it's North Korea, and they have demonstrated that they do have Photoshop technology, however crude. They have managed to develop that.
You mean they downloaded it from the Pirate Bay like everybody else?
Yeah, exactly.
They have Photoshop technology.
Yeah, they didn't develop it. Let me be clear on that. Their scientists are years away from developing their own Photoshop technology. But
they hacked their kid's Creative Cloud account. Not that I did that. But
Yeah, you know, I have some sympathy for North Korea just because... Like, I understand why they want a deterrence, because if you're a country that doesn't participate in the global economy and you have a lot of natural resources like they do, your odds of getting invaded by the U.S. are, like, historically 50-50. But also, they're terrible. And so that makes my sympathy dwindle somewhat, because they're an awful authoritarian regime. And, like, the reason they don't participate in the global economy is... But, I mean, not because they don't want to be puppets of the West or whatever, but because they don't want to have to give up some of their absolute stranglehold over the lives of their people. So,
right.
It doesn't seem great.
And then finally, it is William Pullen's birthday, and we love William Pullen, and we're going to have him on the show here again. I wonder if he's making it or made it to, in fact, this situation has me so lost. I don't even know if the Roswell festival happened or when it's happening. I'm totally lost. I'm pretty sure today's Monday, but that's about where I'm at. Let's see, it's the 25th. Yeah. Okay, so, you know, as long as I got a clock in front of me, I can see.
Thank God our computers know what day it is. Yeah. If all the computers in all the world just decided, okay, we're going to lie to the humans and tell them it's September, I think we would all just gratefully accept that. We'd just be like, oh, okay, how the time flies.
Right, and then is Roswell an acceptable place for one to go, you know? It's like...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think people are supposed to be going to festivals. Like, right now in Reading, small gatherings are permitted, and you, as long as you're, like, wearing a mask and are keeping distance, which makes for a kind of lame small gathering.
Here's what I'm getting at. It's like, as far as large gatherings and a bunch of people in the same place, don't you feel that, like, maybe a Star Trek convention might be the safest place to go? Because it's a bunch of people who have been sheltering in place for, like, a decade already. And then, you know.
Granted, but you have to consider the fact that they've been isolating doesn't necessarily Like, you might not get corona, but you'll get other diseases from the novel bacteria that have been living on their skin for 10 years.
Or at least end up being a social pariah.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you for letting us poke some fun at you, William. I do hope you made it to your Roswell Festival, and I would love to go. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, what we got is Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer.
Yeah.
All right, stick around.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment, despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer. Great title. Mark, how are you doing today?
I am doing just great. I really appreciate you having me on the show today.
Are you going stir crazy? Got cabin fever?
Well, I'm fortunate because I live on the Barrier Island on East Coast Florida, so I can take a walk on the beach every morning. And so, here we're fairly isolated, but I'm used to being on tour 20 weeks a year. That means I'm on airplanes 40 times at least, and this is the longest that I've been home since high school.
Huh.
Well, at least you get to water your own plants and feed your own pets.
I have. You know, the one thing I discovered about myself is I'm a lot more handy than I thought I was. I've been fixing things and doing stuff. So I guess my dad did rub off on me after all.
That's good. That's good. So, you know, for our audience, we had you on about a year, year and a half, maybe even 2 years ago.
I think it was closer to 2 years.
Yeah. What is time? What is time, really? Especially now.
We don't know.
Is it Tuesday? I don't know. Why don't you run down for us what you mean by the psychic lawyer? Because that has implications, legal implications. I know we discussed last time, but why don't you run down for our audience why the title psychic lawyer?
What's funny about this is I was in New York City at a conference, and I was there in my capacity as a psychic medium, and somebody from the media said, you're a psychic and a lawyer? And so I was getting ready to go on. They go, and this is Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer.
That's funny.
And my publicist said, Mark, this is good. Let's go with this. So I went ahead and decided to get it copyrighted because, yes, I am a psychic medium as well as an attorney. What I don't do is people are always contacting me, said, do you use your psychic abilities to solve, you know, to win cases? And it's actually quite a bit more complex than that. I'm putting all of my focus now into my work as a psychic medium, meaning I connect people with their loved ones in spirit. I have assisted and will continue to do so law enforcement in helping crack cold cases. And certainly throughout my legal career, my abilities have been part of my skill set. But, you know, people think that being a psychic is this fluffy, buffy thing where we're running around slinging granola at people, and that being a lawyer is, you know, when it gets dark as we come out of our trip to suck the blood out of everybody. And we have to realize that psychics, you know, we're people, all right? And we have the same foibles and ups and downs as everybody else. It's just that we have insights and abilities that may be a little bit different. And for the most part, most attorneys are actually pretty decent people. Now, there certainly are the rotten apples in that barrel, but my job in both capacities is to help people, and also through the utilization of evidence. As an attorney, certainly you have to have evidence to substantiate your case. And as an evidential medium, when I'm doing a reading for somebody, I have to produce information, verifiable pieces of evidence transmitted to me from a spirit to guarantee the authenticity and sincerity of the contact with the other side.
Yeah, I definitely understand that all lawyers are terrible. I mean, heck, my dad was a lawyer. You know, I can't come down on it too much. But
can I just say that origin thing has the same sort of energy as, like, in the first Spider-Man movie when the announcer at the wrestling thing is, just makes up the name Spider-Man on the fly? Same scenario.
That was Bruce Campbell. Didn't he do, like, Army of Darkness? He had the cameo, and he goes, the human spider. He goes, that stinks.
Ah, that sucks. Exactly. The Sam Raimi one.
And then a couple years ago, about 2 years ago, I've been on several shows because I also have a background in history, archaeology, philosophy, theology. I was supposed to be a Catholic priest. I was raised in a Catholic family, although my parents were both mediums. They had these abilities. And it's not unusual for a medium to be drawn toward a spiritual life. But I decided for various reasons that was too constricting and filled with rules, so I ended up in law. Anyway, but I was on a program, and I was discussing archaeology and history, and I also had started the Psychic Explorer Tours because I've been in mystical and spiritual sites around the world. That's what I do, and I'd taken a group of people into the Yucatan to study Mayan spirituality. And a media outlet said, wow, this is Mark Anthony, the psychic Indiana Jones. And, you know, I've been called a lot of things, but that's the one I really liked. I mean, I thought that
Unfortunately, you can't trademark that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one I didn't have a problem with. But that's been a big focus of my work is to explore mysticism, spirituality, paranormal phenomenon around the world. And I think that it's important that we see where we've come from in a spiritual sense, where we are and how we can apply the scientific method to objectively observing and understanding this so that, that, you know, nothing is hocus pocus. I mean, both of you, I know that you have backgrounds, certainly very, very extensive, incredible backgrounds in paranormal research and phenomenon. And there is a logical explanation for everything. And sometimes that logical explanation involves things beyond our five physical senses. So, I think it's important for us to bring an element of credibility to this field.
Do you feel that that mutual exclusivity that seems to have gone on between science on one side and religion and mysticism on the other side is starting to close a little bit? The gap is starting to close?
Most definitely. And that's been the crux of my work in both my books, Never Letting Go, and even more so in Evidence of Eternity. But what I've seen, and I've been a speaker at Brown, Columbia, Harvard, and Yale. So when you start having Ivy League universities inviting a psychic medium to speak, plus I've been a keynote speaker at the International Association of Near-Death Studies and at other afterlife research institutes, and I'm working with IONS, the Institute of Noetic Sciences as well. And what I'm finding now is not just survival of consciousness studies, like, you know, Dr. Raymond Moody and the NDE Near-Death Experience Studies, and they're extremely credible scientists. But what we're now finding, Chauncey, is that quantum physicists are now drawing a connection between spirituality and the afterlife. In fact, Dr. Michio Kaku, one of the co-founders of string theory, said that eternal life does not violate the laws of physics. And I think that the traditional scientific hostility, if you will, towards spirituality came out of Newtonian reductionist materialism. And so, you know, Sir Isaac Newton, a great guy. In fact, when the plague of 1665 was sweeping through England, Newton, being a genius, knew to quarantine himself. And so while in quarantine, he invented calculus. He developed the laws of gravity and refined the laws of optics. So he used his time in social distancing and social isolation very well. But the problem with Newton is that he was also a victim of the technology of his time. So he believed that everything could be reduced to essentially the molecular level, and that was it. Basically, the molecular world was just a miniaturized version of Mars.
Right. Bouncing billiards, basically.
Exactly. And so then over the next roughly two centuries, the Newtonians said that the supernatural doesn't exist, the afterlife doesn't exist, the only things that exist are what can be observed. And then with the dawn of the 20th century came the quantum physicists. With the advent of quantum physics, we now see that things exist beyond the neutron, proton, electron level, and that on its most basic level, everything is the same form of electromagnetic energy. But as Einstein explained, that energy vibrates at different frequencies. And so that's why we vibrate at a different frequency than the desk I'm sitting before or the camera that I'm talking to. But then on a subatomic level, everything is energy.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere, ag, and turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Don't be left watching Netflix reruns this summer. Use your screen time to future-proof your career with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. One of the best investments you can make is your education. So take the first step today. Summer classes start June 8th and enrollment is happening now. High school students, summer is the perfect time to pick up some college credits. With no tuition costs and enrollment is now completely online, call 242-7500 or go online to shastacollege.edu/apply.
These are unprecedented times, challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Mark Anthony, the Psychic Warrior or the Psychic Explorer. And we are about to talk about, you know, the title I've been given is Planetary and Spiritual Ramifications of COVID-19. You know, the planetary, you know, implies the physical. You know, where are you going with this? You know, I assume this has to do with the blow to our collective consciousness.
It does, without a doubt, that this is horrible. And every generation has its crisis or has its war. And this is a war. And I know a lot of politicians have been depicting it as such. And honestly, I hope this is the war and not a nuclear one. And as horrible as this is, and it is taking a heavy toll worldwide on lives, at least we're not sitting here waiting for nuclear fallout to hit. But in the physical sense, yes, it is killing people. It is wrecking economies worldwide. But the thing about what history's taught us is that all bad times eventually come to an end. There have been pandemics since the dawn of recorded history. There have always been economic downturns, and they've all eventually ended. But what we saw on the last Earth Day back on April 22nd of 2020 was the cleanest Earth Day on record. The air is cleaner, the water's cleaner. For the first time in nearly five centuries, dolphins were spotted in the canals of Venice. You know, Venice is, you know, I've been to Venice, it's an amazing city, but its canals are notoriously filthy and polluted, and they're clean. Dolphins are swimming through them. The people of Mumbai, India, one of the most heavily industrialized cities in the world, can actually see the mountain range. People in New York City are telling me how quiet it is, even though, you know, there's it's been the epicenter of COVID-19 in the U.S. So the air is cleaner, water's cleaner. Animals are returning to areas in national parks, state parks, where they haven't been seen in for over a century. So what is being presented to us on a planetary scale is a lesson that we actually can do something about our environment and about global problems. And why do I say that? Because it is unprecedented now that doctors, medical experts all over the world are not only working on a vaccine and on treatments for COVID, but they're sharing each other's information. At this point in time, there's over 100, I think it's like 102 different vaccines being tested. Generally, yeah. Scientists have been used to figure out ways to hurt each other, okay, develop a technology that can help us conquer or colonize another country. But for the very first time, our planet's brain trust is being put to use for a singular purpose. And, you know, I do believe in God, not necessarily the narcissistic white guy sitting on a throne swinging a scepter around and smiting people, but in a greater collective consciousness sense, the greatest gift we've been given is the gray matter inside of our head. And it's now we're using it. So eventually this vaccine, this cure, this treatment will be created by the brain trust of planet Earth, but it may not have to stop there, nor should it stop there. And this is what the lesson is. We can cure cancer. We can cure pollution. We can create cleaner forms of energy. We can take our technology to figure out how to make the use of fossil fuels cleaner. We can use this advanced technology, this brain trust, to solve food production problems, to basically use the God-given intelligence that we have been gifted by the divine power we call God to actually save this planet and save ourselves from our own destructive patterns of behavior. And this is unprecedented in human history. This is being handed to us. The problem is humans tend not to listen to lessons. And the problem with lessons is that they are repeated until they are. I'm just hoping that we can realize that we can work as a global community. The other thing this disease, this coronavirus, has taught us, we really are one human family. And unlike human beings, this disease doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate on the base of age or sex, ethnicity, religious belief, anything. It will kill anybody and everybody. We don't have an immunity or a defense to it. And so, you know, when we get back to talk about quantum physics, how we're all interconnected in the energetic sense, we're now seeing that we're all connected as a human family because we are all equally at risk from the COVID disease. And the fascinating thing about this is when I say that we can all work together, this doesn't mean that we're all going to join hands and sing kumbaya and that the nation state system is going to completely fade away. There should be a France. There should be a Bhutan. There should be a Thailand. There should be an Ecuador. But we shouldn't have to be worrying about killing each other. We should have our own ethnicity, our creed, our nation state status, but stop fighting each other and instead let our scientists share information to solve the planet's problems. And I think that this is a realistic possibility if we allow it.
So from what you're saying, you know, the global consciousness, fourth dimensional consciousness is like a, it's like a spiritual neural net. So this leads me to two thoughts, and one is that all the fear and anger and rebellion that goes on is possibly giving it a concussion, or the other is that all the people getting together to work on the same problem is possibly making connections that we can use in the future. You know, right. Is there a concern there that we're going one way or the other?
My concern is we're going to revert back. Once the threat is gone, it's like, right. look at world. The only thing that unifies people is an external threat. I mean, in World War II, you had the British Empire, capitalist United States, and communist Russia banding together. Why? Because they had a perceived and very realistic threat with fascist Italy, Nazi Germany, and fascist Japan. And then once that threat subsided, what happened? Then former allies became entrenched on other sides of the Iron Curtain. And I'm afraid that once the threat subsides, we're going to go back to our own old miserable ways of us versus they syndrome. I mean, we're still seeing terrorist activity in the Middle East, although Middle Eastern countries apparently have been hit extremely hard by the coronavirus. Yeah. And basically, this is a shockwave. It's kind of like, and bear with me when I say this, you know, George Lucas had a near-death experience when he was 16. He was in a car accident. He was dead, pronounced DOA at the hospital. For all intents and purposes, seemed to be dead for about 20 minutes, and he came back to life. So then within maybe like 6 or 7 years, he had a draft of Star Wars. And what's the whole thing about the Force? It's the interconnectedness of everyone and everything. That's what the Force is. Well, for people who have NDEs like myself, like George Lucas, when you come out of it, you realize that everyone and everything is interconnected. And I think that's because we leave our corporeal container, our body, and we revert to a purely energetic state. And so we have that quantum awareness that everything's interconnected. So it's kind of like in the first Star Wars movie when, I guess it was the Death Star destroys the planet of Alderaan, and Obi-Wan Kenobi says, right. There's a great disruption in the Force. That's what's happening with COVID. There is a great disruption in our Force, the Force of planet Earth. And while it's terrible, that disruption could very easily be several thermonuclear devices being detonated. And the problem with that is we're not going to survive that one. And who does? The people who do are really going to kind of wish they didn't. So we're being given a chance here. And this is what I'm getting from this and other mediums and psychics that I've talked to. This is what we're feeling. It's a great disruption in the Force.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us 2 ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
And why would the Chinese infect their own people and crash their economy, Yes, you could say, well, they want to crash our economy, but they make more money off us than anyone else. So if we're not buying their stuff, they're not making money. And then there's a thought Russia did it. Well, they're overrun with this now. Crashing the world economy does not seem to be a plausible objective by any of the world leaders. All right, yeah. Donald Trump would never do that because it would make him look bad. And that's something he can't tolerate. So
right.
I don't buy any of that.
I think a lot of these are basically a form of denial. Like, a lot of times when people are advancing them, it's not in the spirit of, like, I really believe this. It's sort of in this nihilistic phase of, like, well, some people are saying this, and who can say for sure, you know? It's people don't want to, as you said, it's a wake-up call, and people don't necessarily want to be woken up, and so they latch on. Right, they latch onto anything they can to.
They accidentally gaslight, or they gaslight on purpose, but they're gaslighting.
Yeah.
There was, I think it was toward the latter part of the medieval era in Italy. It may have been in the early, like on the cusp of the end of the medieval era and into the Renaissance. There was this one part of Italy, I think it was northeastern Italy, and there was an outbreak of demonic possession. And, of course, that was the conspiracy theory that Satan was having all these people possessed. Right. Well, now we know that they were baking bread and they were using a seed in the bread that was rye. And what they were doing, boy, they were baking it, the seed, it turned into a form of lysergic acid. So basically. Right. They're baking bread. People having acid trips and seeing all this stuff. Well, what would you think in the Middle Ages? That has to be demonic possession.
Oh, ergot.
Yeah, it was coming from the food that they were eating, and that was a conspiracy theory of the day. And it's just as ridiculous as these people running around and saying, you know, when you hear Pat Robertson, this is God's wrath upon the world, you know?
Right.
And it's like, because, you know, he's entrenched in Iron and Bronze Age thinking. But I think that in a much bigger sense, this is beyond religion, beyond nation state, beyond beyond any human construct. This is a message to humanity that we can do something about our current state. Because, and I've talked to a number of astronauts, and in my life I've been honored to, I actually had a fairly lengthy discussion with John Glenn. That was really cool. And I've also met Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong, and I talked to Captain Mike Forman, who piloted the space shuttle. That's a funny story how I met him. But I'll tell you what happened.
I'll just throw that in there.
where I live, there's this place called the Blueberry Muffin, okay? And people go there because it's a breakfast joint, and they make great blueberry muffins. And I live in East Coast, Central Florida, about 30 miles from the Space Center. And so I'm standing there and with a couple friends, and this guy walks in, and he's got the coolest NASA jacket I've ever seen. I mean, he had this awesome logo on it, and he had like looked like his wife and his mother. And I'm looking at him, and he kind of looked familiar, and I go, "That's a great NASA jacket." And he goes, "Well, thanks." And I'm looking on it down. This is back when we still had a shuttle program. And I said, "Did you see the shuttle? It landed yesterday." He goes, "Well, I landed it." I go, "You landed it?" "Captain Mike Forman." I'm like, "God, what do you do at the Blueberry Muffin?" He goes, "Just taking my wife and mom out to breakfast. We heard the muffins here." So we're laughing. And but when you talk to astronauts, it's really cool right. What they say. I said, "So what's it like?" You know, it's like, that's something I've always been, you know, interested in my whole life. They said, you know, they all have told me this. John Glenn, too. He said, and John Glenn, I mean, out of all, that was really scary because I think it was a Friendship 7 that he was in. It was this, you know, by today's standards, a rickety tin can flying around the planet. He said, when you look down and see how beautiful Earth is, how alive it is, and you see, you almost feel it pulsating with life. And then it dawned on me, that's the only place we have to live. That's it. And
right.
And now we realize this whole, we need to conquer you or and we'll destroy this and we can just keep strip mining and dumping pollution into the atmosphere and poisoning our water. There's 8 billion people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's only going to increase. At some point, we're at the tipping point now. And that gets back to we are being given a lesson, and yeah. Whether or not we learn from it, well, that's up to us.
You know, there's actually a name for what you were just talking about, the overview effect, and it's so common among people who have seen the planet,
yes.
Astronauts in particular, that like scientists have studied it and they've given it a name. So, yeah, I think maybe you're right, and this virus is... Maybe it'll hopefully give the rest of us a little bit of an overview effect.
It's funny, Neil Armstrong, he had a reputation for being like very cold and distant. You know, he didn't like doing interviews. You know, they picked him because he was basically a superhero. All right, nothing would fluster him. And
right.
I remember this little kid said, "Can I ask a question?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "What was it like walking on the moon?" So there he goes. He goes, "It was so cool." he lit up the bell. I mean, it was so funny because he went from being Neil Armstrong to this really excited guy. He said, "It was the coolest thing." He goes, "Oh, it was awesome." And then, and all the kids were loving it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I hope that people sort of take a cue from this. You know, I have to admit, I tear up a little bit every time I hear the pale blue dot speech from Carl Sagan. You know, it's yeah. like, because it is very much just a reminder for me of like, you know, how finite life as we know it is, you know, and that we probably should be a little bit more cautious and
agile, maybe is the word
that we yeah. are. Yeah. Well, we're not too far from the end of the show here. What do you have coming up? You know, I know you're kind of trapped in the trapped on an island in a house. You know, it sounds like a Lemony Snicket tale. But you know, what do you have coming up?
Even worse. Well, I'm going to be continuing my Mark Anthony 2020 Visionary Tour online, appearing on shows like this, and for all the listeners of your show. If you go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com, and if you click on the phone reading if you want to have a reading with me. And if you mention Chauncey or Kara or the name of the show,
Radio Wasteland,
then you will be eligible for a reduced fee session with me. And I'm making this available to your listeners. But you have to mention Chauncey or Kara or Para-X in the application form. Because, you know, we all have to do our part, and, you know, everyone's like, why don't you do readings for free? It's like, well, because then I'll be living under a bridge like one of my heroes, St. Francis. And I don't live under a bridge. But the thing is, I do want to help out because people are financially strapped right now. And now more than ever, people need messages of love, healing, and resolution from their loved ones in spirit. So what I have coming up are additional appearances like this. I look forward to returning to this show. If people want to find out about my books, Never Letting Go, or Evidence of Eternity, follow me on social media, sign up for my newsletter, join my YouTube channel, and apply for a reading, please go to my website, evidenceofeternity.com.
All right, Mark. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. Thank you very much for offering that to not only our listeners, but, you know, to people in general. I think you're right. I think that the positivity of I don't know, we could all use a little positivity in communication right now, and I'm sure that'll help. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. We hope to have you again.
God bless. Thank you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.